Robert Livingston, Bengals safety coach, joins us in the trenches with Dave Lapham, brought to you by First Star Logistics. You're going to love this guy. He is all football. He broke in to the organization in the personnel department as well, handling getting assignments to evaluate future draft picks, NFL veteran players, understanding football from the big, big telescope, or I should say the big, big panoramic view. Now he's got a telescope and he's zooming in on the safeties, but he sees the big picture defensively, sees the big picture offensively, sees the big picture of football. Robert Livingston, a bright young football mind, and he's got a lot to share. Thanks for joining us in the trenches with Dave Lapham, brought to you by First Star Logistics. From our outstanding First Star Logistics studio, we have an outstanding guest to join us in studio. Robert Livingston coaches safeties for the Cincinnati Bengals. And I'll tell you, Coach, looking at practice here, you know, the ramp-up time and first day in pads, you guys are fast, man. This defense can run. It's got some functional football speed, not just straight line. You know, 40s are important, but not just straight line speed. I mean football, functional football speed. You guys can close some ground.
Yeah, we're super blessed that way. You know, the scouting department has done a great job, obviously, in the draft as well as in free agency. And, you know, giving us the players that can do what we want to do. I think the culture is really, really good. It obviously starts at the top with Zach and Lou preaching how they want to practice, how we're going to run to the ball. And it just goes to the players. I mean, you watch Sam Hubbard any given day. He's phenomenal. I mean, he's the best. He's a consummate pro. Von Bell, Cheeto, all those guys really, really lay the groundwork for who we want to be and how we want to practice. So super fortunate to have those guys. Obviously super fortunate to work for Zach and Lou, where everything is, you know, very black and white. There's no gray on, you know, how we're going to do things. And it's an exciting time, like it is everywhere. You know, as you remember training camp, you're either going to win the Super Bowl or you're going to lose every game. You know, every day seems like the end of the world. So, you know, kind of take it all in stride, and the guys are in good spirits, and it's just an exciting time.
Brandon Allen, when I asked him about the team speed, he told the story about, you know, one snap at practice. He was going to lollipop a throw in there, and he saw Dax Hill going about 80,000 miles an hour. And he said, I had to change the trajectory, the location. I had to change a lot of things because I see this kid motor, and I'm like, man, talk about recoverability speed. And how big is recoverability speed in the NFL? It's huge, isn't it?
Oh, it's a huge part of it. You know, obviously, that's spoken like a true quarterback. We don't want to cut people loose. We don't want to have the ability to just lollipop throws. But, yeah, you got to have the ability to stop, start, change direction, and close on the ball carrier. And you know, the beautiful thing about these first couple of days are, you know, in no pads, you can really, really harp on, I'm sure, as Coach McNally, who I saw in the building today, did with you your whole time playing, you know, eyes, stance, alignment, assignment. So once it does go, you know, semi-live, whatever you want to call padded practices, where we're thudding people up, you can just play fast and you don't have to worry about all the other stuff. So first 4 days were really, really great for that, to kind of figure out, you know, who we want to be, what you have on each play call. And then once the pads come on, it's what you've done your whole life. So let's run to the ball and let's have some fun.
Yeah, boy, you brought me back a little bit when you started with alignment assignment. I mean, I remember Tiger Johnson saying, son, listen to me. I want you to be a triple-A football player. You know what triple-A is, you know, with the cars, right? And I'm like, yes, sir. I want you to be a triple-A football player. Alignment, assignment, adjustment. You hear me, son? Alignment, know where to line up. Assignment, know what you're supposed to do. And adjustment. If they do something, we got to change it. You got to know what to do there, too. You got it, son? I said, yes, sir. I'll be a triple-A football player. I mean,
yeah, I think I might steal that, so thank you for that.
<You're> good.
But it's all the same thing. I mean, it's you know, it's so easy at whatever time, 3:33 here on a Wednesday. I don't even know what day it is. It's training camp. to say, okay, hey, this is what you have, and the next thing you know, it's going fast. Maybe they're on the ball. So the more we can talk, I mean, that's the key thing, obviously. You know, especially in the defensive backfield, you got to be able to communicate. You know, you got to talk to the guys outside you. You got to make sure everybody's on the same page every play. Or that's where those guys kind of pop up out of nowhere for touchdowns, and you start looking around, who's got that guy?
Right. So Dax Hill, Tyson Anderson, Cam Taylor-Britt, the three young guys that can all run, like we talked about. The physical part of it is big, obviously. You have to be able to compete, you know, physically. But the mental part of it, like you're talking about, doesn't do you any good if you're not where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there, no matter how damn fast you are or whatever.
For sure.
How are they in terms of understanding and then retaining? Are they at a pretty good level there in terms of your installation?
Yeah, I'm pleased. Again, being a rookie or you know, people listening, obviously your first day on a new job, there are some things that you probably just nod your head and act like you got it. And then afterwards, it's like, hey, what was he saying there? What are we doing? So again, it all goes back to, you know, training camp is designed to stress you physically and to stress you mentally. So when you do have the ability to have a walkthrough day or in meetings, you know, put yourself in tough positions where, you know, you're not only competing on the grass, but you're competing in the meeting room. And all three of those guys are super eager. You know, they're eager to please. They want to play. They want to do right. And they want to be successful. So as long as they have that mindset and are willing to work, then we'll be in a good spot.
Now, there's no such thing as a stupid question, but anybody can ask a question. The key is, are they asking good questions? You know, I mean, you as a coach, I'm sure can tell, hey, man, this guy's starting to get it, because that's a damn good question. Are they at that stage with you?
Definitely. We're getting there. You know, I think Zach did a great job bringing these rookies in early, you know, before camp. So there was 2 days of on the grass with just rookies and meetings. And it's like anything in any group setting. You know, it's hard to raise your hand and maybe come across as somebody who doesn't know what he's talking about. So in an intimate group setting, you know, small numbers, it's always easier. So that's been phenomenal for those guys to really kind of get ahead and anything that might come up, hopefully, you know, we've crossed that bridge. That's not to say that there's not mistakes. That's not to say that there's not things that are busted. You never want to have it, but we just got such more in reserve, right? You kind of already got that stuff built up. So again, excited with where these guys are. You know, they're still rookies. They're going to make mistakes. It's our job as coaches, obviously, to clean them up and get them to play into their ability.
You know, I think you mentioned something earlier where a veteran player who ends up taking on a mentor role is so huge. I my first offensive line coach, I couldn't ask for anything better. Bill Tiger Johnson was awesome. But I had a guy who we both know, Bob Johnson, was a veteran center, smart as a whip, you know, knew everything about the NFL, what there was to know on an in-depth basis. And he said, you know, he ended up, I'm taking you under my wing, basically, without saying it. He was the mentor. And it, like Von Bell, I see him doing that with the young safeties. I see Cheeto doing that with the young corners. That supplements, you know, you're a hell of a coach. But those guys, those veteran guys that are mentoring, supplement and help develop those players, doesn't it?
Oh, it's phenomenal. Again, it goes back to the culture that Zach and Lou have built defensively. You know, you got guys that care more about the people around them than they do their own personal accolades. It's kind of that tribe mentality where there's no job too big, no job too small. I can't thank those guys enough. I mean, Vaughn, Mike Thomas, those guys have lived it, right? And I don't mean to speak down on my profession. Obviously, it's what I do for a living. But it's going to mean something, maybe even a little bit more, if I'm honest with myself, which is hard to do. If somebody that's beside you that's playing the position, hey, you know, I look at this or I look at that. I see this. Hey, make sure we're doing this. And it's good to have guys, you know, pulling in the same direction. Again, it goes back to kind of what Zach preaches, you know, team first mentality, we, not me, you know, all that good stuff, which I know some people might say is, you know, it's great on a t-shirt, but when does it matter? Well, it matters in August, it matters in September, it matters, you know, every game of the year. So the more we can have those guys helping out the young players, the better. Again, that, as you know, that is not common. There's a lot of guys that are kind of trying to protect themselves. I think, as we all know, this is a success-driven business, and yep. They want to make plays so they can stick around. But we got a great group of guys that are eager to help out and put the team first. So that's all we can ask for.
That brings me to a guy that, you know, obviously isn't part of training camp at this point, and a guy that you know intimately well, better than anybody. Jesse Bates is that kind of guy you're talking about, a great teammate. And the business side of football is tough. There's no question. And you can only coach, you know, guys that are available to you. And right now, you know, Jesse's situation, he's not available. I know you probably can't communicate at all or anything like that. I know you can't communicate any football to Jesse, but as far as you know, teammates that have reached out to him and everything, is everything going okay with Jesse?
Yeah, I think so. You know, there's obviously a personal side to this. You know, I love Jess like a brother. You know, being around him, you know, more than I've been around my three kids probably for the last 4 years. You know, I care about him, you know, immensely. That'll never stop. So if and when, you know, he shows up, and I'm excited for whenever that day is, you know, you give him a big hug and we'll go to work. So, you know, the personal side is really the side that I want to make sure is good. And, you know, again, if and when he shows up, you know, we'll be in a good spot. Obviously, everybody loves Jess. And again, keep the business side out of it. And let's go out. Let's make a lot of plays. Let's play great defense. And rising tide obviously rises all boats.
So the adjustments and everything that are being made, the tweaks and the fine tuning, Jesse obviously is very intelligent and a quick study. No concerns that, you know, he wouldn't be able to very quickly adapt to what your changes that you may have made back there. And we all know he's a pro's pro. The guy will keep himself in great shape. When the day he reports, he'll be ready to go, ready to play. You feel pretty confident about all that?
Yeah, just because, again, the person that he is, as you already mentioned, right. You know, consummate pro, always on top of things. You know, he, Vaughn, Mike Thomas, all those guys could run the meetings that we're doing right now. You know, we're still pretty early in the install period. Obviously not game planning versus an offense yet. And everything is pretty much, as you would call it, training camp rules. So just kind of as you read it from a sheet of paper. The beauty of our situation is, you know, this is our fourth year together, which is great to say out loud. I think it's the first time I really realized that. So, you know, it's phenomenal. There have been tweaks and changes along the way defensively, but everything is eerily similar. You know, Lou said something really, I guess, the first install day, maybe the second we're doing the red zone. You know, he's showing plays and it's the same thing we're installing, you know, the first red zone training camp day, and we're running them in the Super Bowl. So that's the beauty of Lou's system. Again, I can't speak enough about the great job he does, you know, getting these guys ready to play and keeping things simple so they can just play fast. And, you know, what you see is what you get. So if and when Jesse shows up, you know, super excited for that, and we'll get him up to speed.
You know, you make mention of a fact we talked about before, the fourth straight year for Zach. Both his coordinators, all three of his coordinators, I should say. Darren Simmons, obviously, special teams coordinator and assistant head coach. There's not a whole lot of teams in the NFL that can say head coach in the three you know, areas of the football team, offense, defense, special teams, who coordinate those, are all returning for fourth straight year. If that continuity and consistency, and a lot of assistants as well, are in that group. How big is that to the success of the football team?
It's huge. It's huge. Again, it's a blessing, you know, selfishly, obviously it's a blessing for me to be here and not have to move my family and kind of get in that rat race. It's a blessing for all the coaches because you're used to the system. You're not learning a new system every year. And then if you're a player, again, as you have lived, you know, you're walking into really an eerily similar install. And we were fortunate to play as many games as we played last year. So God knows we played a lot of defense. A lot of different packages and all that stuff. So there's buckets to it. You know, hey, this is just like this, or that is just like that. And again, it's a testament to Lou in that the way this thing is wired, you know, it might be different words, but it's the same technique for a guy, or it's the same, you know, eye discipline for a guy, or it's the same, hey, I'm reading 2-1 here. And if you can do that, you know, it's pretty easy to learn. That's our job as assistants, obviously, to learn the learners, to learn how these guys learn best, whether it's in the classroom, on the field, PowerPoint, whatever it may be. And that's really what training camp is trying to convey what in the morning when these guys walk in, what they've watched at night on their iPads might seem like a lot of information, to put it into small buckets, and the same as ones live in one drawer and the other ones live in the other. And if you can just do that and kind of compartmentalize things, to me, that's the best way to teach and that's the best way to learn. So that's kind of what we're doing. You know, huge emphasis on technique early on, as we mentioned, in terms of just being in shorts. You know, it's probably a blessing. It's a godsend, however you want to look at it, to really, really, really detail what you're doing each time in each coverage, what your job is, what does this technique mean, what does that technique mean. That way, again, whenever it comes up, if it's the first preseason game or, you know, hopefully we're playing late in the year, It's the same call. It's the same coverage. It's the same eye discipline, and you've done it a million times. You know, the teaching part of it, it's a little bit the whole part, whole system. Again, you learn the whole huddle call, what your individual part is, and then you go back. And for a lot of these guys, even the rookies, this is their third time hearing it. So now when they see the whole part again, they know how it all works together. So that's the exciting part. Again, as you sat in as a rookie, maybe not as nice in meeting rooms with the video. And again, shout out our video guys. They do great. Travis and Kent and Brooks are phenomenal.
They are. You know,
we've got a whole bunch of tools we can use to, again, learn the learners and get these points across. You know, the first time you install something, there's some big eyes from these rookies, you know, in the spring. Now, all of a sudden, it's the third time they've heard it and they can recite it. So it's one thing to recite it. It's another thing to do it. And that's kind of what training camp's for.
You referenced, you know, the character and culture, you know, of the entire organization, really. There's no jerks. I mean, there's zero jerk factor. And I think in a case like we were talking about with Jesse, I think that's a big factor because it's not contentious. You know, I mean, it's business and there are no divas. You know, everybody's checked egos. And I think all of that is a big factor, is a huge factor, because at some point in time, you know, a team is going to face adversity multiple times during the course of a season, face adversity. But a group like this that has the type of makeup that it has, it's easier to overcome it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, one of my, you know, kind of pet peeves is everybody talks about culture. That's like the new, you know, catchy word, right? We got great culture, whether whoever you are, whatever business, whatever franchise, whatever team you're working for. Oh, we got great culture. And they always point to the winning moments, you know, when the culture was great, you know, when everybody's happy and excited. And to me, it's kind of backwards, right? I think you learn a lot about culture is when people struggle, right? When the team struggles, when an individual struggles, that really kind of shows you who you are and what you're about. And that goes back to just the conversation we had with training camp. As you've lived, as the listeners have lived, it's not always great. You know, again, offense is going to win one day, defense is going to win another, and it's how you bounce back. You know, it's what you do after a tough stint, you know, and that carries over into the season. You know, you have a bad series, you have a bad drive, you have a bad game. How are you going to come back? How are you going to react to adversity? So that's what we're trying to build. Again, the beauty of the NFL is that there's 31 other teams saying the same thing today, you know, kind of spring hopes eternal. Everybody's going to go to the Super Bowl. Just ask them. So it's our job to keep pushing and keep grinding and just brick by brick, get to where we want to go. And that obviously starts with tomorrow, having the best Thursday we can have, and then Friday, and just, you know, be where your feet are at and don't get ahead of yourself.
Yeah, I think what you're talking about, it's a great message. And you don't have to go back very far. Just last year, okay, 7-4, and there were two West Coast teams coming to Paul Brown Stadium, have to travel from the West Coast, have to go through multiple time changes and all that. You know, all that stuff. Do you travel 2 days before, the day before? You know, oh man, that's tough traveling from West Coast to East Coast. Well, the Chargers win big, and then the 49ers win in overtime at Paul Brown Stadium. And the team is now 7-6 in the middle of December. You know, and a lesser team that didn't have the makeup of what you're describing being able to handle the adversity would folded their tents. This team goes on a run, you know, and defensively, in the playoffs, you hold your first two opponents to under 20 points. You get 10 quarterback sacks, seven different guys combined for 8 interceptions in 4 games. I mean, it's like you guys are playing about as good as any defense can play. Were you guys at your peak at that time, or can you get better?
No, we're always striving to be better. Obviously, I get it. That's a little bit coach speak, as is what I'm getting ready to say, is that was last year. This is this year, right? That's the ultimate coach speak. But again, just talking on culture, that was the shining moment for me. Again, losing to San Francisco in overtime. Obviously, some things didn't go our way, and we didn't make the plays we needed to make. And that was really the first time all year where, you know, in your head, you're thinking, okay, hey, you're going to have to get these guys back. They're going to be down. They're going to feel just as shitty as you do. And you walk into the meeting room on Monday morning, and everybody's the same person that they were. Again, never too high, never too low, you know, their hand never shakes. And that's what we're chasing this year. Again, it's our job as assistants to push these guys and drive them to be the same person every day. Last year is last year. You know, there's nothing given this year. Had a great speech today. from a visiting speaker that said, you know, just because you went there last year, nothing is guaranteed today. And we're a testament to that. Again, if you look at, you know, the years prior, obviously we're not what they needed to be. They were not good enough. And the guys used that, had a chip on their shoulder, and hopefully we'll continue to do that. So that's the exciting time about training camp. You know, everything is always rainbows and blue skies. So we got to keep these guys working and kind of focus on what the business at hand is.
And I'll tell you, all you have to do is go back in team history to the three Super Bowl teams. Played on a team that played in Super Bowl 16. We lose to the 49ers, but we had a great run, you know, AFC champions. Come back the following year, there's work stoppages or strikes. So there's only 9 games. We go 7-2. So, you know, in that 2-year stretch, 12-4, 7-2, we have the best regular season winning percentage in the NFL. But, you know, we got to go into the playoffs, and there's nothing given. We got to play the Jets. We're up 17-14. Freeman McNeil goes for over 200 yards against us, and the Jets edge us 44-17. After we have a 17-14 lead. So we don't even make it out of our first playoff game, you know, after the Super Bowl run. And the team that went to Super Bowl 23 didn't even make the playoffs. Went 8-8. They lost 5 games by a touchdown or less and lose the last game by that type of score. And if they win, they're 9-7, they're in the playoffs, and they can't get that victory, can't get it done, and don't even get in the playoffs to defend their AFC championship. So like you said, man, put it away, wipe the slate clean. I mean, it's a whole new ball game.
Yeah, no, it's an exciting time, you know, training camp. To your point, my wife always tells me she's the level-headed one of us. She's the only reason we work, as you probably are aware, because you're married and had the same conversation. You know, any given Sunday, anybody can beat anybody, right? And that's the beauty of this league. It's a hard league. It's a tough league. There's no homecoming games, right? I mean, everybody can beat everybody. That's the parity that the league wants, and that's why everybody loves the game. So with that being said, just, you know, getting ready. You know, it is a grind, training camp, as you've lived. I mean, eventually you get tired of blocking the same 3 technique every play, and you know, the first preseason game is always super exciting. You know, there's new blood coming. You get to hit somebody else. You get to block somebody else. You get to see different colors. I mean, it's great. So, and for a lot of these young guys, I mean, just the look in their eyes, again, you've lived it. You know, that first preseason game is 9 days away, which is crazy to say out loud. But it's super exciting, and it's a couple obviously hard work days before we get there. And that'll be kind of the present for these young guys. Like, hey, you're grinding through camps, and now you get to hit somebody else for 4 quarters. So it'll be fun.
The way this, not only the personnel that you've accumulated to fit these spots in your defensive roster, but the way it's built, you guys are stout and strong inside at defensive tackle. You know, you have, you know, edge guys that can cause you problems. There's no question about it. You have linebackers that have a lot of range and athleticism, and you have all this speed on the back end. I mean, you can't build a defense, you know, schematically and with the physical theoretical thing, and then fill it with the people you filled it with any better. I mean, it's well put together. It's well done, man.
Yeah. Again, that's a testament to Duke and his staff upstairs, you know, Duke, Potts, Steve, you know, obviously AJ, Christian, they do a great job. Trey Brown has been a great acquisition for us, you know, coming in and seeing it from maybe a little bit different lens, the places he's been. You know, we work hand in hand with those guys in the draft, and then obviously Zach and the coordinators and Duke and Steve handle free agency, and we're involved where needed. So, you know, really, really talented looking group. You know, you look out there at the first 11 and you feel good about life. So as long as we don't screw it up as coaches, we should be pretty good. So again, great guys. I think you touched on it earlier. At the end of the day, you know, you can be as talented as you want to be. If you're a jerk, or if you're undisciplined, or if you're whatever, you know, some places that's okay. And to Zach's credit, you know, that doesn't work here. And I think the locker room is strong enough that if you are not a good guy, or if you're not about the right stuff, as Zach talks about, you know, you'll be alienated, right? They just don't want to have it, you know? So it's great guys. Can't say enough about them. Really, really enjoy working with them every day. And hopefully we'll be able to work together for a long time.
And you hit on something that's always big. I mean, when players start self-policing, then you know you have something special, you know, in that regard, and weed out the issues. And it's this is universal to me. When my experience is having played on various teams, when your better players have jerk factor, you struggle. The ship sinks. Sure. When your better players are outstanding people, raises the ship. I mean, there's no two ways about it. And you guys, I mean, you have multiple leaders in every position group, and that's the way you want it. You don't want just an offensive and a defensive captain. You want as many guys that want to contribute to the leadership aspect of your football team and self-police as you can, right?
Yeah, definitely. Again, it kind of goes back to, that collective team mindset. You know, we're putting each other first, and it doesn't matter, you know, if I have 15 tackles and two picks and the best game of my life, if we lose 44-17. It all goes back to me of, you know, kind of that tribe mentality, you know, no job too big, no job too small. It takes us all. And, I think the buy-in has been huge that way. Obviously, it's a testament to Zach and Lou, as I talked about. Really making things black and white. This is who we're going to be. And, Lou said it best. You know, he said, the train's leaving. You can either run and jump on it or get left behind. But the train is leaving. So it's like that everywhere. You know, I get it. Everybody's got the same message in training camp. But I feel very fortunate to be part of this train and leaving the station.
Hey, you're a big part of it. There's no question about it. And your background is so unique, and being involved in the personnel side of it, you understand the contributions, and you know you've got a big picture, a really big picture from an organizational standpoint. You're gonna go big places during the course of your career, because you understand all the inner workings, you know, the personnel and then the coaching side of it. Now that you're into the coaching profession and doing a hell of a job that you're doing, is there a guy or two that you can point to and say, I wanted to be kind of like him, and I feel like I'm getting closer?
That's very nice. Thank you. The biggest thing for me was when I came downstairs and started coaching full time. I had the opportunity to be a QC, so quality control, both on defense and special teams. So I think anybody that's been around Darren Simmons recognizes that he's probably the most prepared person I've ever been around. Yep. And I learned very quickly that if I was not on my P's and Q's, and if I didn't have an answer, if I was trying to bullshit them, that wasn't going to fly. So yep. For me as a young coach, to learn the preparation aspect was huge. Obviously Marvin was instrumental in my life and my career. I'm forever indebted to him. To think that I would do half the things that he's done in this league would be a hell of a career. So I thank the world of him. And then obviously Paul Gunther was a guy that I'm super, super grateful that he got my kind of boat in the water. And I learned a lot from Paul. Obviously, Paul learned it from Zim, and it's a definite kind of history there. So I'm just lucky at the end of the day. I'm in a great organization. You know, the Brown family here is phenomenal to me and my family. It's a family-run business, obviously. It's in a small market. My wife's from here. So everything for me kind of checks the box of like, hey, this is perfect. Don't screw this up. So that's the added pressure is, hey, dude, you got a good thing. Don't mess it up.
You know, I've had over different levels of football and years of football, you know, coaches like, I don't give a damn if you like me, but you're going to respect me. You know, if you don't respect me, we're going to have problems. So respect's obviously a big deal. And your players respect the hell out of you. But I think it's like 1 + 1 = 3 when a player not only respects his coach but likes him. You know, and I think that's when you have the magic sauce. You know, I think Dick LeBeau was somebody that I first noticed. You know, his players not only respect the hell out of him, he's a great player and a hell of a – they like the dude, man. They'll do anything. They'll go through hell in a gasoline suit for him. You, my friend, you got that mojo. I think you could do a hell of a job.
That's very nice. I don't know if the audience knows, but Lap is actually my agent as well.
There you go. See?
Any requests, please go through him. But no, I mean, to me, it all starts with, guys that you play for that you learned it the right way. I was fortunate. I had a defensive coordinator in college, Bob Shoup, who was like the Beautiful Mind, right? He got on the board and he start drawing. And next thing you know, there's like 85 different. Everybody got it. Okay, good. So the football side started there. And then, you know, to me, my challenge to myself every day is to just be the same person. You know, if I come in and I get too high or I get too low, that obviously causes consternation in the room. And with that causes panic, with that causes missed assignments, misalignments, all that kind of stuff. And I legitimately care about these guys. It goes back to, you know, we're on a submarine. You know, we're not coming back to port for hopefully a long time. Hopefully this season stretches really, really long. And I'm going to be around these guys every day. I care about them immensely. I love them. I want the best for them. My job as a position coach is to obviously put them in a position to be successful, whatever that takes, however it takes. And I'm just super supportive of them. Obviously, at the end of the day, they're putting, you know, a lot on the line to go out there and help their families, help this organization, help this team win. So the more I can do to show them I care about them, show them I can support them, and then from the coaching side, put them in positions to be successful, then it's all good. So I appreciate the kind words. So that means a lot. Thank you.
Super Bowl 56 was a great experience out in L.A., to get in there and everything along with it. But Super Bowl 57 in Arizona.
There we go. I like it. I like
it. Thank you enough. Appreciate your time, Stud.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, Lap. Really appreciate you.
You're the best. At First Star Logistics, we're a very strict company that really puts the pressure on our employees. Brakes? What are those?
That's what I'm talking about, Icky. Get the body right, then the mind's right. You know,
gotta get that body right.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Become a star with a chance to earn the highest commission percentages in the industry as a freight broker agent. Check out firststarlogistics.com.